Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. Mm-hmm. It was about noon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lent. Lent is a time for dreams, a time for visions. Lent is a time for reconnecting with what God wants to do in you. Last week we met Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, someone with education and with status, and someone with a desire to know God. Nicodemus came by night to see Jesus, but he struggled to grasp Jesus' message. He struggled to comprehend God's dream for him. Now Jesus is going back home to Galilee from Judea, and our Gospel of John tells us that he had to go through Samaria. Most modern commentators disagree. He didn't have to go through Samaria. That was a choice he could make, but most pious Jewish people would not go through Samaria. There was a centuries-old racial divide between Jews and Samaritans. Right? There was resentment and conflict. There was even a war. And so Jews carefully avoided going through the wrong neighborhood, which was to say, Samaria. Right? It makes me think of today in the Holy Land. If you want to go visit one of the many churches that have been there for 2,000 years, right, the original Christians in the Holy Land, then you have to go into Palestinian-controlled areas, which means you have to go through a checkpoint. And beside that checkpoint, there's a big sign, green with white letters, explaining how dangerous it is to go into this neighborhood. That's where the Christians live. And so Jesus, who, according to the GPS, did not have to go through Samaria, apparently did have to go through Samaria. Jesus later says that the time is coming and now has come when the Father seeks worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And it seems that Jesus is going about that work of seeking, and that work is taking him to Samaria. So Jesus goes into Samaria. Jesus sits down at the well. A woman approaches and Jesus speaks to her. And this is shocking on many levels. You know, not least because of this animosity between Jews and Samaritans, because of this racial prejudice, right? This woman knows the rules. She says, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing talking to me? This doesn't make sense." She explicitly calls him out for breaking the rules. And our narrator, the writer of the Gospel John, is very emphatic, isn't he? Jesus went to Samaria. It was a Samaritan woman. It was a well in Samaria. He makes it very plain for us. Something strange is going on. And then there's the fact of exactly where in Samaria they are. Jesus is seated at a well, a watering hole, the office water cooler, the local bar, a place where all kinds of agreements might be come to, especially the agreements that are less than official. For those of us who read our Bibles, we have this other resonance too, don't we? What happens at wells? Well, at a well was where Rebecca was found as a spouse for Isaac. Right? It was at a well that Jacob met Rachel. Right? A well is where betrothals happen between men and women. And so again, that makes us say, well, Jesus? What's going on here? Jesus is acting a little bit crazy, and the woman tells him so. But Jesus is unfazed. And Jesus tells this woman that he has something to offer. Jesus is offering something for which you don't need a bucket. In fact, a bucket is not all that helpful to draw out living water. This woman has come to the well to get water, right? The stuff of life. Important for drinking and for cooking and for cleaning. And Jesus is offering her something better than what she came out here for. And I wonder, what did she think when she heard the words, living water? What do you think of when you hear the words, living water? What is Jesus offering? I wonder if she thought about eternal life? The Holy Spirit? Was she thinking maybe about just being accepted by her Creator? We learn in the story that she had been married 5 times, and often that fact is used to maybe render a less than flattering opinion of her. And yet, one might remember that in this time, in this culture, women could not get a divorce. It was men who could declare a divorce. She had been left 5 times. She had been abandoned and left behind 5 times. She was, as one commentator suggests, wedding weary. And Jesus is offering her an alternative. Jesus is offering her something that her soul thirsts for. And so we meet a woman at a well in Samaria, and she, like Nicodemus, she's struggling to understand what in the world Jesus is talking about. But unlike Nicodemus, she can do the basic math and put two and two together and see what's going on here. Right? First, she looks at Jesus and says, "You're a Jew. What are you doing talking to me?" And after a few moments of conversation, she says, "Oh, you're a prophet." And then after a few more minutes of conversation, she says, "You're making me think about this idea I've heard about the Messiah, the Christ." She doesn't even express it as a question because it's just so fantastical and unlikely. But she says, "The Messiah will do this." And Jesus then clearly says to her, "I am." Right? Our English translation says, "I am he," and that's a good translation. But the Greek says, "I am." Which again, for us readers of the Bible, this has other resonances, doesn't it? Right? That's what God revealed as God's name to Moses. "I am." And what's also fascinating about this is that other people ask Jesus if he is the Messiah, don't they? And I always find it strange that they don't get a straight answer. Jesus never admits to anyone else in so many words, "I am the Messiah." He'll say something like, "Well, you say that I am." But to this woman, he said, "Yeah, I am." And you know, she continues to struggle. Because this is a crazy thing to tell anybody. "I'm the Messiah, really?" And yet she has faith. Right? And there's never faith, I don't think, without struggle. Right? If there's no struggle, then it's not faith, it's something else. But she has this faith and she is struggling. And she realizes that the bucket isn't going to get her what she most wants, so she leaves that bucket. And she goes back to town. And do you hear her words of evangelism? Right? They're not, "You must believe A, B, C." They're not, "I declare to you." They're instead an expression of doubt. "Surely this can't be the Messiah, can it be?" Those are the words of evangelism that draw out the whole town. So that this woman is clearly portrayed as the most effective evangelist in all the Gospel of John. Who else brought a whole town to Jesus? Now, last week we encountered Nicodemus, and he had every reason to believe that he might be favored by God. And yet it was that very confidence that blocked him from receiving what Jesus was offering. And here today we meet a woman who has every reason to believe that she might be rejected by God. Certainly rejected by the God of the Jews. And yet it was that very sense of need that caused her to have open hands ready to receive. She was the one who got what Jesus was saying. Jesus meets us. Jesus meets us in the thirsty wildernesses of our lives. Jesus meets us when we are wedding weary, when all of our best efforts keep not turning out well. Jesus meets us when this deck is stacked against us and when we are told you are not worthy, you are not adequate, you are too old, you are too young, you are too this, you are too that. Those are the times that Jesus meets us, when we find ourselves most ready to encounter Jesus. When we go to the well looking for that thing that we long for the most and find out that Jesus is already there, waiting to embrace us. Lent is a time to dream, a time for vision, a time to remember who it is that we most want to be, and even more to the point, whose it is that we most want to be. Those who have gathered here together, those who have been baptized, we do that to say that we want to be God's, that we want to be cherished, we want to be loved and cared for and safe. This gospel is for you. Jesus has come to the well to meet you, to offer you something even better than what you thought you were looking for. Jesus wants to bring to you a spring of living water that will gush up inside and lead you to life eternal. Amen?
Amen. Amen.